How many of us here this morning pray on a regular basis? I would guess that most of us would answer yes to that question. We should pray, but many of us do so without looking at why God really wants us to. Jesus was often seen set off by himself, away from the crowds and the people, alone in quiet prayer. He used prayer just as we do today, to calm himself, to prepare for what was about to happen, and to communicate with God, his Father. He was in a relationship with God, and through prayer, communicated on a personal and a private level. In Genesis, we're told that Adam and Eve heard the sound of God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. In verse 9, we are told that God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" The Bible has several verses spread through it, detailing how God is searching for us and for everyone who follows. In Ezekiel it says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out." Ezekiel also said, "I will seek the host, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick." In Luke, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." John tells us, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." And in Amos it says, "Though they hide on the summit of Carmel, I will search them out and take them from there." But what is prayer, and how do we pray? Well, there are many types of prayer and many ways to pray that are used by people, each as they feel most comfortable. But many use a method similar to Jesus himself, one of finding a quiet, peaceful place and a time in their day to talk to God. For that is essentially what prayer is, a conversation. Town to work each day.
Our daily bread. For these words we petition God to provide us with everything we need. Not necessarily everything we need want. There is a difference.
Our daily bread is what is essential for everyday life. That does not mean simply the food and other goods that keep our physical bodies alive, but that which nourishes our soul as well. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. While this petition is the most challenging part of the Lord's Prayer for most people, because it requires us to act before God even responds, we have asked Him already to help us know His will and to do it. And here, we ask Him to forgive us our sins.
But all we have to do is have forgiven the sins of others against us. We beg
God to show us mercy. Not because we deserve it, but because we do not. But we must first show that same mercy towards others, especially those that we may not personally think actually deserve it. And do not bring us into the time of trial. Well, a temptation is a trial. And in this petition, we ask God to keep us from entering into trials that test our faith and our values, and to keep us strong when we must face such trials. We pray to God for whatever reason, in hopes that He will hear our prayer and will answer yes. For Jesus has told us, so
until now, you will not understand in my name. Ask, and you will receive. And your joy will be. God listens, and He is ready to answer. All you have to do is ask. Okay, we know how.
And we know when. Now, why do we pray? Well, that depends on what's happening in our lives. What it is that we want or think that we need. Because in prayer, we are talking to God, just like Adam did in the Garden of Eden, asking for something and hoping that we receive it. One of the first prayers that I can remember being taught was, I can remember coming home from Sunday school one day when I was a small child, and my father, who had taught Sunday school for many years, used to occasionally ask what I learned that day. And I remember telling him that I heard and learned a new and simple grace that can be said. It's very simple. It's, may we all be truly thankful for what each of us is about to receive. It's a very simple grace to be said at the beginning of a meal. And I can remember, and I can imagine how my chest must have puffed out with pride.
He said,
And that was a tradition in our family that they carried on at all major meals for probably another 20 or 25 years, that I would always be the one asked. And sadly, I also remember a Friday a number of years ago when I'd heard that my father had been rushed by ambulance from the hospital in Peterborough, the hospital in Lindsay to Peterborough for an emergency operation in the middle of the night. So I traveled up, roaring up through Highway 11535 at 60, 70 miles an hour in a pea soup fog to go see him that Friday morning. Managed to find him in his ICU room, walked in and asked him how he was doing, figuring he's going to tell me that, yeah, he's sore, but, you know, he's feeling better. I was stunned. He turned around and looked at me and said very simply, "I'm dying." That hit me like a ton of bricks. I remember spending the day with him and coming back to Toronto. One of the advantages, even back then in the old church, is as the warden, you had all the keys to the building. So even though there was nobody there and the lights were all off, I opened the doors and walked in, and I kneeled down at the altar, at the altar rail that used to be in. God answered my prayer, and two nights later, having heard it, he answered it. But the answer, as I guess you figured, was not what I wanted. It was not what I was thinking of when I asked him to look after my dad. God did look after him. He did what was best for my father when he took him. He saved my father from having to suffer through a painful and long recovery. But even more importantly, he saved them from the degenerating and life-ending loss of self that he had been facing through his already diagnosed Alzheimer's disease. I had forgotten a very important lesson, a little prayer. As I had been warned years before by the priest here at St. George's, God hears and answers all prayers. But that answer is based on what is best, what is needed, and what is not what wanted. As that old adage says, be very careful what you pray for. On a more cheerful note, I can remember a movie that I enjoyed several years ago called God Almighty. I don't know if you've ever seen it. But it's basically where God decides to pass on part of his ability to listen and answer prayers to a human being. And this fellow thinks, that's an easy job. I can do that. No problem. And then he's dumbfounded and annoyed and stunned by just how many people are praying to him asking for help. So he comes up with a brilliant solution. He's going to answer yes to everybody's prayer. And he does. Just a blanket yes. Everybody gets what they want. He gets up the next morning, turns on the news, and the state lottery was held the night before. And he's surprised to find out that the entire population of Buffalo, New York, won the lottery that night. Everybody had a winning ticket. So they all shared in about $20, rather than the millions they were expecting. And in closing, I'd like us to listen to and welcome into our hearts, and let us always remember A prayer of true Christian life attributed to St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is offense, let me bring pardon. Where there is discord, let me bring union. Where there is error, let me bring truth. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O Master, let me not seek as much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that one receives. It is in self-forgetting that one finds. It is in pardoning that one is pardoned. And it is in dying that one is raised to eternal life. Amen.